1239. This is Dean Richards. Sunday morning, WGN. Pete McMurray coming up after 1 o'clock. So I went, my first eating at a restaurant experience over the past, I don't know, 2-3 months, something like that, was going to be on Friday night. I went to one of my favorite Greek restaurants, Psistaria, that's on Toohey Avenue, just east of the Eden's Expressway. I've been getting carryout from there since the get-go on this. I've been, you know, trying to support some of my favorite restaurants with carryout and delivery. But they put out this huge seating area that's on the side of the restaurant. And, you know, the weather's been kind of nice this week. I thought that'll be nice. Got together with some friends. And we were going to, you know, sit outside under the tent on Friday night. We sit down at the table. And, you know, the sun is now beginning to go down. And the wind is picking up. And it was cold. I mean, it wasn't just a little put on a sweater. It's a little chilly outside. I wanted my parka sitting out there. It was cold. We sat there for a couple of minutes looking at the menu and, you know, kind of looking at each other going, are you as freezing as I am? And everybody was. Nobody wanted to be the first one to say it. But we were all freezing sitting there. It's like, should we just get our food carry out? And, you know, we'll go to the house and eat. And that's what we wound up doing. So, but, you know, restaurants are open. Restaurants are trying to do their al fresco right now. And if the weather cooperates, I guess it's fantastic. But Phil Vitale, restaurant critic, Chicago Tribune, I almost froze to death out there on Friday night. I'm lucky I'm alive today.
It dropped precipitously. About 6 o'clock in the afternoon, my wife and I were saying, "Oh, good, we'll eat outside. See? We're on the deck. We'll just do that." By 7:15 already, we were like, "Yeah, maybe not."
Yeah, you were in the house.
Maybe we'll have a fire instead.
That's right. That's right. We ordered our carryout. I had some lovely lamb and okra indoors. And mm-hmm. It turned out to be a very pleasant evening on top of it. I know you've been on vacation, so maybe not monitoring this, you know, how the restaurants have been trying to roll back into business again. But what's been your take on, you know, what you've heard so far, what you have been able to observe?
What I've been able to hear from people and see is that clearly there has been a lot of pent-up demand. Either there's a strong desire for the people in the Chicago area to support its restaurant scene, or a whole lot of people in the last 10 weeks have gotten really sick of their own cooking. Either way, I have not seen any instances of outdoor dining areas with empty tables. There seems to be enough people, and probably more than enough people,
right,
to get in there, and they're willing to do it.
Yeah, it's a very interesting experience. I mean, before you know, my frostbite set in, you know, every table in this outdoor area was, you know, very safely spaced. The tables were safely spaced. You know, a lot of people coming in not wearing masks. That's been my pet peeve. Of you know, people, you know, go down to the Rush Street area, go down to, you know, some of the nightlife areas where all the 20-year-olds are, and, you know, they don't think there's a pandemic going on. They think everything's just fine and dandy.
Yep. You know, 20-year-olds have always had that certain air of invulnerability to them, which I suppose I had when I was 20. But, yeah, these stakes are a little high, and as someone on the far end of the someone who checks off a few of those high-risk boxes, I'm thinking, you know, you guys, if everybody wore masks, I mean, everybody, not even the fancy, you know, surgical quality masks or anything, if everyone just wore a face covering every time they were outside, we could stop this disease, this virus in its tracks.
Yeah.
It would run out of places, because if two people, if you wear a mask and I don't, you're probably, I'm certainly protected from you, and you're slightly protected from me. If we both wear masks, everybody's protected.
Right, right. Yeah.
I don't understand what's so tough about this.
It's very interesting. And now it's, you know, become like a political ping pong ball. Also, if you wear a mask, you're on one side. If you're not wearing a mask, you're on the other.
Yeah.
People, it's like, we don't have enough things to argue about. Now we're going to argue about masks also.
Yeah. How about if we can somehow yoke this to the Right to Life movement, specifically my right to life right now, because, yeah. All right, I'm selfish right now. I'm just talking about not getting a severe respiratory infection at a time of my life when that would be a really, really bad idea.
Yeah, well, the restaurants are, I get it. You know, they're trying to earn some money and, you know, get their staffs working again and, you know, all that. And I presume that as the weeks go by, things are going to open up even more and,
Sure.
Maybe people will be able to eat inside restaurants soon, depending on what the science tells us as we go along. But I wanted to just, you know, touch base with you about some of your favorite al fresco places around the Chicago area. Do you have favorites?
I do. And one of my absolute all-time favorites is Piccolo Sonio at 464 North Halsted, or the nexus of Halsted, Milwaukee Avenue, and Grand Avenue.
Right, yeah.
Tony Priolo is the chef owner, has been for years. That backyard of his with the very tall privacy fencing, and it's planted with uplit bushes and trees. You could be on there and never have an inkling that you're on one of the busiest intersections in Chicago.
Right. You drive by there and you don't even know there's an outdoor area.
No. And if you sit in there, you don't even know that there's all that traffic outside. At least I don't.
Yeah. What are your favorite things to eat there?
With Tony, I mean, his pastas are terrific. He makes a fine pizza, but I usually just go with his great Italian classics. Before he opened his own place, he was the chef at Coco Pazzo for many years. So it's his food is very well known. It's very I wouldn't call it traditional because that sort of sounds old fashioned. I don't intend that, but he definitely sticks to the Italian idiom, and there's nothing in there that an Italian fan is going to say, "Whoa, what's this chocolate sauce doing on my pasta?" Yeah. That doesn't happen there. It's just terrific.
How about some other favorites?
Oh, let's see. I like the rooftop on Etta, atop Etta, 1840 West North Avenue, which has lots of fun contemporary American sort of dishes, but they make great pizza, really good pizza, and really superior pastas, I think. Tsuko, one of the best restaurants to open last year, the Mexican restaurant at 720 North State Street, they have a little outdoor area, and that is remarkably good Mexican food. I mean, you're starting to get into an argument with Tsuko versus Topolobampo in terms of, you know, how good the food is out there. River Roast has that lovely area of tables lining the Chicago River. You're looking out over the river from there. That's always a nice one. Abba, which is the sequel to Ima, both heavily Middle Eastern restaurants. The rooftop at Abba at 302 North Green overlooks what used to be the bustling Fulton Market action, and now it's maybe less bustling than it has been in the past, but you will see that. And I think Fulton Market is one of the areas that are going to be closing off the street to allow more outdoor tables. So that whole district is going to be a great place to go. Out in the suburbs, like right out by O'Hare, that Parkway Bank Park, which is that area in Rosemont, they've got about four or five different restaurants, and every one of them's got some outdoor seating, and you've got these big open lawn spaces and all the rest of that. So I think with the with reasonable precautions, you can have a fine experience out there, particularly at Bub City, which is my favorite of the groups that there are out there.
I was going to say, you know what's interesting? Restaurants that didn't really have outdoor seating before have moved all of their furniture outside now. And, you know, they're trying to find any place to put a table and some chairs, since that's the only place in some areas where you can serve people as if you're outside.
Absolutely. And if you have one of those properties in which the windows can be opened all the way, like these big, and make your indoor area sort of an open air, you're allowed to have tables as long as they're within 8 feet of the window itself. So they can have like a little bit of extra outdoor space that's sort of indoor/outdoor. But I expect by the 1st of July that Chicago will be able to go, I'm going to make up a number because I'm really guessing here, 50% capacity indoors. And if you see that, I expect that they'll people will be out there. There's a lot of demand, particularly in the summer, and I'm just hoping that they can do that soon enough, and there's enough business that they can sustain themselves, because no restaurant opens with the plan of being half full. Their level of profitability is hopeful that is much more than that.
Yeah, I'm sure they're all just very happy to have anything going on right now.
Sure, keep the brand alive, keep some people employed.
Yeah. Do you think that we're going to lose restaurants that just were not able to survive the pandemic, not able to sustain, during this very difficult time?
I think so. It'll be a combination of factors. First and foremost, really the lease. Those restaurants that have good leases or not good, they'll have fortune enough to own their spaces or can negotiate good interim deals with their landlords will have a much better chance of survival, because that's the cost they can't really do anything about. The lease is the lease, and it's usually not saying you get to pay less if you have less business. So that's going to be the first thing. And if landlords hold firm, we're going to have restaurants that close, and it's not going to be fun, but it's almost certainly going to happen.
What do you think the fate will be of the super five-star restaurants, where you're into the $500-700 for a meal? Can restaurants like that sustain themselves during this difficult time?
I think some of them can. I think possibly most of them can, because they're dealing with a clientele that I suspect is largely recession-proof. The new restaurant ever, which is the latest from Curtis Duffy and Michael Muser, formerly of Grace, just started taking reservations this week, hoping that their opening day will be July 28th. That's the day they're shooting for. And within 2 hours, every table for two through September had been reserved.
Wow.
And the fours tops and six top tables were close behind, keeping in mind, of course, that they are only taking reservations to the extent that they can sustain the 6 feet of separation and 50% of capacity, because that's what they expect to be operating under. And these are restaurants that are going to be your dinner, you're out the door, you're going to be close to $500 a person to dine at one of those places. And Zoom, people just jumped on board.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. Yet, a lot of the mom and pops, which, we've talked about this before, are my favorite restaurants, where you feel like someone's grandma's in the kitchen cooking. The food is so good. These are going to be the places that are going to have a tough go of it.
They're going to be the most at risk for a lot of factors. One, the kind of food they're doing, there's a lot of competition from the big chains, who have the economies of scale and the ability to lock in their grocery prices on contracts 6 to 12 months at a time. And they're able to offer prices a mom and pop can't sell food for the price that Olive Garden can sell food. They don't have that economy of scale. That's a disadvantage. Another disadvantage is that when people coming back to work, they're going to be coming back to the new $14 an hour minimum wage in Chicago, and not all of these places will be able to afford that. And then on top of it, just they don't have the wherewithal to keep their name out in front of the public. They have to rely on word of mouth and loyal customers. So I think they are the most vulnerable restaurant segment coming out of this health crisis.
A texter asking if you can recommend any outdoor dining in the Naperville area.
Well, downtown Naperville has quite a few restaurants, and I assume they're all doing stuff. There's a nice version of Hugo's Frog Bar in downtown Naperville. They'll have outdoor seating. There's the Rosebud people have a location in downtown Naperville with outdoor seating. They've been doing a lot of curbside pickup at that place. And Yeah, I think downtown Naperville is probably doing very, very well. I haven't heard of any street closings because it's tough enough to maneuver downtown with all the streets open. But that might be the a fun thing for them.
Yeah, I know the Mia Francesca chain.
Oh, right.
They have a terrific. I can't remember the name of the location in Naperville. They're
La Sorella.
La Sorella.
It was Scott's second ever one. So he, instead of calling it Mia Francesca like his original, he called it the sister of Francesca.
Yeah.
La Sorella di Francesca.
Yeah. Terrific food and you know, great that it's up the ante of restauranting out in the suburbs as well.
Yeah. He was one of the first to start putting a fine dining thumbprint on downtown Naperville.
Okay. Anything you're working on right now that we'll see in the Chicago Tribune soon?
No, actually, I'm starting my
just coming back
my
from
third
time
and
off.
Last furlough. I'm back on furlough. This
oh, you're
week.
Furloughed. Okay, I didn't.
Yeah,
know that.
Everybody at the Tribune has had to take three furlough weeks between now and the end of July. I front loaded mine in hopes that I would be coming back full time with no interruptions, just as Chicago restaurants were beginning to reopen.
Yeah.
So on June 22nd, I'm back for keeps, knock wood.
Oh,
but I will have served my three furloughed weeks. And I'll be ready. And right about then, I'm thinking at that point, we're probably only a week away from Chicago restaurants coming back.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to you getting back into the groove again.
Me too.
I'm especially honored that you would join us during your furlough time.
Well, yeah. I can't turn you down.
I appreciate our longtime friend, Phil Vitel, with the Chicago Tribune. I hope you have a great Sunday today. And
thank you very much.
Look forward to reading and talking to you again soon. Thanks, Phil.
All right. Thank you.